I have a game for you guys. Take a second and put everything from your mind. Clear every worry and every concern and just put them all on hold for a second. Okay, so think of your most fond memory. What do you see? Maybe it's a childhood birthday party, the first time you saw the love of your life, the day you got married, or just a day that sticks out in your mind you were extremely happy. Okay, now, how much do you remember of that day? Do you have a clear picture or is it a bit fuzzy? You have something here or there, but not everything's there. It's like a puzzle, but some of the pieces are missing. Well, this is what photographers try to avoid, is that fuzziness. They take all the important parts from that day or from an event, and they put them together like a puzzle. That way, you have all the pieces together and can remember it for the rest of time or however long you want to remember it, I guess. But, of course, that's not all photographers do. You're listening to Underexposed, shining a light on the love for cameras, a podcast of personal experiences. I'm your host, Jasmine Brewer. Welcome back to another episode of Underexposed, a podcast to help dive into the love for cameras, whether it be photography, filming, editing, vlogging, and everything in between. Today, we're going to focus solely on photography. Honestly, one of my favorite things. Google defines photography as the art or practice of taking and processing photographs. Personally, I did not like that definition, so I found another one for you guys. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines photography as the art or process of producing images by the action of radiant energy and especially light on a sensitive surface, such as film or an optical sensor. Okay, so let me bring that down a little bit. We don't develop film as much and use Polaroids cameras as much as we used to. However, Polaroids are still a thing, and they still make new cameras, so good for them. But most people actually have DSLRs, which stands for Digital Single Lens Reflex. And what I mean by that is whenever you take a picture, it goes through the lens, reflects off a little tiny mirror, and that's how you get your picture. Or they just use their cell phones, which is one of the most common things anymore. Since I defined photographs, maybe I should define photographer. Google defines a photographer as a person who takes photographs, especially as a job. I wanted a more complex definition than that, so I looked around a little bit, and this one I actually found on snagajob.com. Stay with me, I know it sounds weird, but it actually had one of the best definitions in my opinion. Photographers are artists with the camera, using a blend of technical skills and artistic eye to take a picture of people, places, landscapes, food, you name it. So to me, this definition is perfect because I believe that photographers are artists. Of course, they are not painting pictures with watercolor or pastels or colored pencils or anything like that. They're making art with what is around them. Whether it be a dandelion in a field, making it look like the most beautiful flower that has ever touched this earth, or taking portraits of people that make them look like a whole new person. Some pictures of your dogs, flowers, people, places, everything. What does photography mean to me? So what I mean by that is what gives me the right to sit here and talk to you guys about photography like I know everything. I am no expert when it comes to photography. I'm not claiming to be. I just have a love and passion for photography. But I just want to be able to talk to you guys and share my experiences with you guys and hope that you share them back and that we can all connect and have this, you know, little community of photographers just expressing our love. So, how long have I been taking photos, let's say? Probably since 2010. So, it's been a hot minute, but professionally doing actual photo shoots, my first real photo shoot was actually in 2018. I had a friend who was graduating high school, and she had actually never had anyone offer to take her graduation photos, so I offered as a friend, you know, I want to try and practice, so I did, and they actually turned out really good. This was even before I had my good camera, which I'll explain in a second. And considering the circumstances, the pictures turned out really great, and she used them on her announcement, and I forever thank her for the opportunity to allow me to do that. Of course, it was free, so nothing lost, but only gained, I guess. In 2019, I purchased my first camera, which was a Canon Rebel T5i. For my 21st birthday, that was my present to myself. So this is no way sponsored. For your basic photography needs, if you're starting out, I think it would be awesome. But of course, you can usually probably find a cheaper one. What kind of photography do I do? I do a lot of nature photography. I take pictures of everything you see outside, whether it be rocks, grass, buildings, creeks, animals, especially flowers. I love taking pictures of flowers and just showing the world's beauty. So I have done graduation photos. I've done some couple photos, some friend photos and things like that. Of course, I'm still just starting out, so I'm in no way a professional, but still learning. So I worked with Motormouth Speedway for their 2019 season, and I was one of their intern photographers. There were two of us, and I got to take pictures of cars and people. They did a monster truck show, got some awesome pictures of those. They did a tour of destruction, which for anyone who doesn't know, tour of destruction is where you get a car for cheap and you crash it into other cars amongst other things. And it's this big whole event and they play soccer and there's a fire breathing car eating dragon. It's a lot to explain. But it is an awesome experience, and it was awesome to photograph. And I got some really cool firework photos, and it was just a cool experience for me. So, why do I do it? So, I take photos for two reasons. A, I love to make art. I love to show a new perspective of something that people haven't seen before. And my second point is to preserve history. So how is taking a picture of a flower preserving history? Well, one day, things can go extinct, and I will still have pictures and proof that it was here. Some people may not think of a graduation photo shoot as preserving history, but take the instance we're in now, in April of 2020, for instance. Here in the United States, we are trying to battle, I guess is the best word, against the COVID-19 coronavirus. And there are tons of seniors, me included, but a lot of high school seniors that do not get a graduation. They don't get a prom, they don't get a graduation, they don't get to walk, so their families won't see them in their cap and gowns. But people like me and other photographers are still offering photo shoots for these kids. That way, they at least have that. They have that experience, they have this picture to help fossilize that. At least, hey, if I didn't get to walk, at least I got to have the experience of wearing my cap and gown, and I have it here as proof. But also things like family get-togethers or public events or openings of businesses and things like that. One day down the road, we'll look back and see all these different things and compare and see how far you've grown. It's just awesome, in my opinion, to be able to look back on these things and see how far we've come. Even now, in this horrible situation that we're going through, we can look back one day and say, hey, we overcome that, and we can do it again. So, talking about capturing stories, this one photo blog thing, this is no way sponsored at all. This is just a page I really enjoy and want to share with you guys. So, I came across this page through Facebook. Of course, all of us are scrolling casually through Facebook and we come across things and we don't want to admit that's how we found it, but of course, this is how I found it. So, the page is called Humans of New York, and as I mentioned before, it's an outreach, inspiration, photo blog type thing. It was created by Brandon Stanton in September of 2010. First, it started out as just photos of people in New York, and it's eventually progressed into street portraits of people and many interviews with these people. I think it's so fascinating how he can get these people to share very intimate details of their life in just a short amount of time, within 5 to 10 minutes of just walking up to this complete stranger. He can get them to just share the most intimate details. And he also has a book if you want to check it out. It's called The Humans of New York Stories, but let me read you guys one of these most recent stories that he's published. I'll put a link in the description down below if you want to see the pictures that accompany it. I just think it's nice in this really uncertain time in our lives right now. So, it starts off with, I've been in this place before. I've been in this place before. I've gone through times in my life where I've had this much fear, and I ended up coming out on the other side. When I lost my job, when my husband left me, I survived those things, so I try to remind myself of that. But it's been a lot of stress. Cheese puffs for breakfast, beer for lunch, and the same pajamas for 3 days. Yesterday, my 4-year-old told me that I looked like a pickle, so it's been a lot. But my main fear is this. What would happen to my kids? I'm a single mother of three, and I'm high risk because I have a rare lung disease. I haven't been vocal about it, so not many people know. But those who do have taken such good care of me. Nobody's made me feel needy. Some days I'll open my door, there's notes or cards or activities for my kids. One anonymous person left a bottle of hand sanitizer with a note that said, "The world needs you." Last week, we decided to return the favor. We put my daughter Zoe's finger paintings in all our neighbors' mailboxes. We called it Quarantine Art Club. Then yesterday, we got a package on our doorstep. Our neighbor down the block had added all these beautiful drawings of Zoe's paintings. He signed it a Zoe and Carl production. So, his name must be Carl, and his girlfriend's name is Lauren. She added a bag of cookies, but that's all I know about them. We've never even met them. They rode by the house yesterday, and they waved out their car window. They said, "Is that Zoe?" It was so much fun. I couldn't get close, so I just kept blowing them kisses from the porch. Hashtag quarantine stories. So, the reason I shared this post with you guys, or this little clip-it story, is even though that took me, what, less than 2 minutes to read, it captivated me personally. So what makes it so interesting, even is it the photos that accompany it? But if you just listen to me, there was no pictures, just words. So what continues us to read and follow these people's stories? And some people would say that humans are just nosy creatures, and I'm not going to disagree with that because I know some people that are very, very nosy, and curiosity, of course, killed the cat, so to speak. But this page has millions of followers, and the stories are never the same person. Sometimes he'll do parts of where he'll post up to, like, you know, 5, maximum 10 little segments of the stories, if they're longer stories, but they're usually just one post with average 3 pictures to go with it. But what draws us back to these different stories? Post down below what you think draws us to these things. So, here's my thing. If he's documenting these people through photography, that's his thing. And I think he's doing a great job at it. How else do we do that? There are other things, like historical societies and archives, that try to do that through photographs and interviews. Same thing, more or less. Where they'll interview someone about a specific time or a date and place or just their lives. And this is how we've preserved history for a long time. I mean, with presidents and celebrities, moms and dads, we take a photo of them and we think nothing of it. But down the road, it can show us different things. It could show us hardships. It can show us how people have gotten through rough times. That's how I think that we should continue to do photography even through this pandemic. You have to think, 100 years ago, the Great Depression was close around that time. We have all read history books when we were in high school about the Great Depression, how it affected our country, how it affected the people. But I personally believe that if you read something to me, or you show me a photograph of this person living out on the street with their kids, if you show me this person living in a one-bedroom apartment with a mat on the floor, and their clothes are all black and dirty because they have nothing else, that affects me more than words ever will. A picture is worth 1,000 words, and I do not take that statement lightly because they are. So, I could tell you right now, so today's date is April 9th, 2020. I could tell you about how we are social distancing, how I'm not supposed to leave my home except for essentials, work, or exercise. I can tell you all that. But if I show you a picture of a grandparent seeing their grandchild the first time through a kitchen window, or if I show you these videos or pictures of these teachers driving down street blocks just so they can see their kids from school because they don't see them, where we're not going back this semester. I feel like that touches my soul and touches me personally more than just words on a page or a screen. So, speaking of this pandemic, photographers have done a great job at staying connected with their people during this time. Of course, photo shoots are very slim and weddings have been postponed, and as I mentioned earlier, the graduation thing. But if you think about it, there are people that have been doing, in my area, front porch projects. So, although it sounds like a DIY thing, like redoing your front porch, you know, the whole front porch swing and banisters and all that, but it is actually where these photographers are getting together, and they're finding neighborhoods of people who want to take photos with their families on their front porch. So, while still maintaining that social distancing, these photographers are coming to your house while taking the necessary precautions, of course, and taking photos of you and your family, showing this time that you're spending together, because right now we're all just trapped inside and we can't really go anywhere, like I said, except for the essential places. And these photographers are capturing these moments, and they're going around and they're offering like Easter packages with the front porch projects, since Easter is in a couple days. And I think that's just awesome that photographers are still coming together to do things like that. And there are other people who have been doing things like FaceTime photo shoots. As crazy as that sounds to me, because my camera is literally my world, they are actually doing FaceTime sessions where a photographer will call their client and they'll be like, hey, so do you guys still want to do your photo shoot? Let's say you're engaged and you want to take engagement photos. The couple will go out somewhere in the woods or at their home, wherever looks scenic, and they'll get dressed up and they'll FaceTime with this photographer, and the photographers will screenshot the screen and edit these photos to look like they were taken on a professional camera, which is wild to me, and I give them a round of applause because that is just awesome. Because even in this rough time, these people are still finding ways to connect with everyone else. So, even in this tough time, if you are stuck inside like me and you have nowhere to go because it is either A, too cold outside, or everywhere is still kind of crowded even when it shouldn't be, check out your local photographers' Instagram pages, their Facebook pages. Support them still, because even in this time, they're struggling just like everyone else, and maybe you'll find something cool, or this cool project like the front porch project or FaceTime photo shoots. And even if, you know, you're somewhere where there's not many local, you know, small town photographers, go outside and take pictures of your own. Show everyone else what you're seeing. Just still socially interact with everyone else. So join me next time on the third episode of Underexposed, shining a light on the love for cameras. And who knows what we'll talk about. Since this pandemic has changed everything and all of everyone's plans, everything is up in the air. I promise you guys, I will bring some new content and something to talk about. So I will put links to things like Humans of New York down below. Stay safe out there. And if you want to stay up to date on the Underexposed podcast, leave a comment below or follow us on either Facebook, Instagram, and or our YouTube page where you can access this podcast. If you have any comments, leave them down below or on any of the social media sites. See you guys next time. I'm Jasmine Rohr.